I hope you heard the message more than once, because I've heard it like three times already, because you don't build something into you unless you hear it, you repeat it, and you repeat it, and you repeat it. It's not something that you hear one time and you say, okay, I got it, okay, and you walk away. Unless you have like complete memory recall, but even then, it has to get into your heart. You can remember it up here. Amen. So, sorry, guys. We're having a lot of difficulties this morning with the technology.
Just go ahead.
And so, because I've heard it at least three times, when I told you that God gave me the message and it wasn't my message, I was not kidding. I have been using what I'm learning throughout this whole week. Like I would say about maybe 10 different times throughout this week, I faced a challenge or I was doing something that required me to use my faith or get into fear. And because I remember what God taught us last week, I would say, Father, I choose God, therefore I'm choosing faith. Amen. And it works, people. It is amazing. I had to go through some pretty intense stuff this week, and God brought me through every time. Amen. Amen. So that's what we want to do. And we don't want to get offended at the word, people. Not in this hour. Without the word, you are not a believer. What are you believing in? We believe in the word. Amen. So praise God. Turn to the person on each side of you and tell them, I'm sure glad you're here. And I'm so glad that you guys fixed your clocks. We didn't. Brian, it was time forward. We got in our car, and I'm like, Brian, did we have a change of time? Why is my clock saying that? He goes, you just haven't changed it or something like that. We literally had a time change. So praise God we're here. Okay, praise, and thank God you're here. So here we go. Head versus heart faith. This is critical to you because your faith has to be in your heart, not in your head. Amen? Amen? The scripture that we're standing on, this whole message got birthed out of this scripture in Luke 18:8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And, you know, the first four times that I taught on this was helping you to distinguish when you're thinking that, oh, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, I believe in heaven. Oh, yeah, I believe in the rapture. Oh, yeah, I believe. How do you know if it's just up here and not in your heart? Amen. Because we all agree with the word of God. There's not one person in this room that if I were to go up to you and say, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the scriptures? Oh, yeah, yeah. We totally believe it. We accept it. That's called mental assent. But real faith comes from the heart. Amen. And last week, it was very prophetic. It was not a typical message because God took a quantum, he had us take a quantum leap in the spirit. He's shortening the time, our learning curve. Why?
Getting ready.
Why? He's coming. And you have to be ready. The five wise virgins were prepared. The five foolish virgins were not. And the five foolish virgins, you know, will end up having to go through some very serious stuff when they could have been just wise, just prepared. If you choose faith, you are choosing God. If you choose faith, you are choosing God. If you choose fear, you are choosing Satan. Very simple. Right, Rhonda? Super simple, huh? That's right here is how I survived this week. I'm having some procedures done on my body that are very important, very necessary, and very gnarly to go through. I have to go through 9 of them. And every time that my heart would start pounding because it's scary and, you know, somebody's invading your body with stuff, all these machines and stuff. And I just would tell myself, no, I choose faith.
Amen.
I choose God. Amen. And that's how simple it's going to be for you. You know, if you hear something horrible about to happen, no, I choose God. I choose faith. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He will bring us through, people. He always does. God is faithful. The admonition from the Lord on March 2nd, 2026, which was last week, last Saturday, going forward, this is what he told me. He said, going forward, you will teach my people that the reality is that in the spiritual realm, things are very much black and white. Because in me, there is no compromise. In me, there is no deception. I am absolute white. He is absolute light. He is absolute life. He is absolute love. He is absolute truth. That's who God is. Amen. The time has come for my people to walk in the absoluteness of righteousness. People that are going to be escorted out of heaven at the marriage feast somehow made it up there during the rapture, and they're going to be escorted out. You know why? Because they're not wearing the robes of righteousness. You didn't believe. Righteousness comes when we believe. Just believe, and you are standing in righteousness. Abraham was highly blessed because he believed. He believed God. Amen? Proverbs 11, so in the absolute of righteousness, Proverbs 11, 23, the desire of the righteous is only good. That's absolute. Our desire should be for good. We should not rejoice or enjoy bad or wicked or evil anymore. Anymore. It's go time. It's cleanup time. We got to get ready. Amen. Karen sent me a beautiful picture and I wasn't able to download it. I tried. It's a beautiful bride and she's walking through, looks almost like a forest or something, and she's all dirty. She's got a beautiful wedding dress, the veil, everything, but she's all dirty. Why? Because she's been traipsing through the forest. We've been traipsing through the world, people. So we got to clean it up. Amen. Praise God. And so the righteous is only good. Our desire should be to do what's right. I walk around now in my life and I say, no, do what's right, Eva. Do what's right. This is right. And just have yourself do it. Amen. And then no more black, no more gray. And we're going to talk about the gray just real quickly. Preparing for God and for heaven where things are absolute. God's not happy some days and then miserable the next. God doesn't heal sometimes and then not heal other times. Everything God does is absolute. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You can amen me anytime you want. So let's look at these scriptures. 1 John 1:15, 1:5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and tell them and ask them, is there any darkness in you at all? That was cute, JP. That was cute. People, in him, there is no darkness at all. If we're going to get ready for him, then there can't be any darkness in us. Amen? And we're going to find out that we're taking liberties with the word of God, and those are called the gray areas, which have to go. Amen? Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and he will he not make it good? People, God does not lie. God has never, ever lied to me. I have hundreds and hundreds of testimonies of people that I've prayed for, of myself, of within my family. God says it, and it comes to pass. And look at this. His integrity is on the line. Not only does he not lie, but he does what he says he's going to do. Amen? This is how we got to start looking, people, where we keep our word. If we say something, we're going to keep our word. Amen? Praise God. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Again, God does not lie. Lying is a gray area, people. No, in fact, if you want to know the truth, it's a black area. We got to start getting away from that. Amen. And it's easy to lie. Oh, my God, I was stuck in traffic for 5 hours. It was 15 minutes. The exaggeration is a lie. Amen? So we got to start cleaning up our words. Do you know why this is important, people? Because out of your mouth, you're speaking life or death, day and night. So your mouth, your words should be now speaking as much truth, as much truth. Sometimes we don't catch it and we say something that might not be completely true. Then keep catching it, keep catching it. Because we're diluting our own power, people, when we say it's okay to lie. Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good. Talk about absolutes. These are the kinds of things that keep me awake at night sometimes. Because in God, there is no gray area. In his mind, there is no gray area. You're going to choose good or bad, or you're going to choose righteousness or unrighteousness. Look at this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. What are you producing? What are we producing? What kind of fruit are we producing? People, it's very important. You have to understand that, you know what, at any given moment, I am producing fruit in my life, in my family, in my home. What are we producing? James 3:9. With it, our tongue, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men. We shouldn't be talking about people anymore, people. We shouldn't be judging others anymore. That's not our place. Sometimes the devil will pop people up in my mind, and man, it's like I look at who the person is, and I'm like, I'm not going to go there. I'm not their judge. God is their judge. Amen? So let's realize that we cannot be blessing God. Woohoo! Glory to God! Praise you, Jesus! I've seen people get pulled over by cops, and in the middle of it, they're cussing out the cop. They're being rebellious. They're resisting the arrest or the ticket that they're going to give them. And then the next minute, they say, "Praise you, Jesus! Save me, Jesus! Praise you, Jesus!" That's not right. That's not good. We can no longer do that. You know, at home, we can't yell at each other and hurt each other and then come to church or be at work and there's Christians there or whatever, and you're like, praise God, praise the Lord, he's coming soon. We've got to start tightening up our lives. Thank you, Rhonda. With our tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, James is the brother of Jesus. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. You can be saying all the wonderful things. You can be quoting scripture. You can be praying in the spirit all the time. And with one moment that we lose at people, or we take it out on someone, or road rage, and we get upset at someone and start cussing them out or whatever, you're literally contaminating all the fresh water that you were building. I can have a huge gallon container right now, and it'd be fresh water, water that we can drink. And if you dump some salt in there, even if it's a little bit, it's going to contaminate the whole thing. This is how absolute God is. God never speaks a wrong word. He speaks righteousness. He speaks life. He speaks hope. That's how we should be speaking now. Amen? Praise God. 1 John 4:20. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? We can't hate anybody anymore. Nobody. It is not our job to hate anybody. And right now, our country is festering under political strain. You can't hate anybody. I always pray for whoever is in office. They need our prayer, no matter who it is. They don't need you spouting curses in the air and then expect them to do a good job. Let it go. That's not our business. Our business is to pray. Amen? There's a lot of hot issues on the line right now. And people, this is the gray areas. We're taking liberties when we don't have a right to take liberties. You know, let's pick, just very quickly, abortion. Some people are pro-life. No, a woman, that's her body. She has a right to choose. And some people are like, no, that's murder. You can't kill a child. And then there's all these, well, what if the woman gets raped? Bill's mother was raped. We wouldn't have this man of God here, this soldier for God, if his mother had decided, oh, this is a good reason for me to get rid of this. Life is life, and murder is murder. And we have to be very careful because we're taking out causes and issues for all the people that live in the gray areas. That's not God. We got to stand up for righteousness. Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltness, it is good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot. Throw it out. We have to remain our saltness. That means the purity of what we believe, of who we are. You can't be deluded anymore. Amen? Revelation 3:15, we're talking about the absolutes of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. See, God knows people. God knows. You know, it's funny. I have to share this with you. I was praying for some people that were not coming to church for a little while. And I always do. When you don't show up, I'm a sheepdog. I go after you in the spirit realm. And I bring you before God. Father, in Jesus' name, help them if they're struggling, whatever's going on in their lives. But Father, bring them back to the fold. And so I was praying for some people. And this is what God told me, people. Talk about God's not playing games anymore. I said, Lord, you know, please bring them. You know, they need to be in church and so on. And he goes, do you really want them there if they don't want to be there? He said that to me. And then you know what he said? He said, I don't. God doesn't want you in his home, in his house, or in heaven if you don't want to be there. This is a hard response. This is a hard issue. What God is doing through this is he's cleaning up our hearts as much as he can. Amen? So I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. God is saying, God, go into the world full on. At least I understand passion. I understand your zeal for the world. I understand those things. But he says, so then, because you are lukewarm, that means you're in the gray area. You're not cold and you're not hot. Because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This is the book of Revelations. I have to so commend you this morning, people. You showed up and there was energy vibrating in the air. It was beautiful. It was awesome. And that's how church should be every time. Where we walk in fiery, Jesus would say, the zeal of your house has consumed me, Father. Thank you for showing up ready for the word. Amen? Amen. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, you shall be perfect. For those of you that think, I'll never make it. I am never going to be what she's saying I need to be. You can start. You can start. God is expecting you. This is an eternal process that we're going to be going through in transitioning and transitioning and transitioning our being in heaven or hell. And the thing is that for God, look at what Jesus said about God. He said, therefore you shall be perfect, which means complete in mental and moral character. That's what that means in the Greek. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. God is expecting us to mature. God is expecting us to grow up. God is expecting us to be little Jesuses walking around in the planet doing good, people. That's what he's expecting. I like to live in the gray area, in the place where the compromised live. God is too hard to follow, and the devil I will avoid. So I will build my life in the in-between, where neither God or Satan truly matter. That's what we have done. God's telling me to live this way. I can't. It's impossible. He's so demanding. And I know better than to go after the devil. I'm smart enough not to do that. So I'm going to create my own reality. I'm going to do what I can about what God says here and there, a little dash here and there, just to keep him happy. We were ministering to someone to get born again many years ago, probably about 40 years ago. And the person said, they're very intelligent, very brilliant. And they said, you know why I don't want to receive God in my life? Because I think he's so selfish. All he wants is he creates us so we can worship him and love him. That's what that person said. And they kind of prayed the sinner's prayer, but guess what? They've never really tapped into God or lived for God. It's got to be from the heart, people. Those of you that are married, you know why you've lasted this long? Because something in your heart is hanging on to your vows, to the love that God tells you to have for your mate. You can't be together out of your mind. It's got to be out of your heart. Parents, you can't parent your children if it's not being done out of the heart, out of the purity of your heart. Our motives get all entrenched in our kids, and we got to love them from the heart. Everything has to be from the heart now. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You're getting more and more quiet. And if you do, I'll keep you here another hour. So I will build my life in the in-between. That's the gray area. God says to love, and you love everybody. But then when it comes to that person at work, I could say so many names and you guys would all know. But that person at work, and you're like, God, he gets on my nerves. Oh, my God, I can't stand that guy. Oh, my God, he's coming over here. I don't want to talk to him. Oh, my God, I'm gone. God says to love. He says to love. Amen? Praise God. Oh, one of my kids really bugs me. I think they're just like me, so they bug me. Brian. He said, look at where he sat. The very, very back. Practically, he's in preschool, practically. I'm going to get you later, Brian. So I will live my life in the in-between. Ask the person next to you, are you living your life in the in-between? Very quickly, there are only two realities for mankind. I'm going to review these really fast. I'm not going to talk about them. But this is where we're taking the gray areas. The reality of God or the reality of Satan. You choose. You can't believe more in the devil. Do you know that some people that are totally Christian talk more about the devil and believe more on the devil than they do in God? Oh, my God, I've had the worst week. Oh, my God, the devil's got me on the run. Oh, my God, he's destroying my family. Or, oh, my God, I saw a horrible crash. They talk more about the devil than they do God. Start talking about God. Leave that jerk alone. When you walk with God, he's nothing to us. He is nothing to us. You can stop him at every turn. I'm choking to death. I can't breathe. Long story short, I ended up, it's called GERD or something like that, I don't know. But it woke me up gasping for air. I ran, I couldn't, if I were to show you how it sounded, you'd be scared because it sounded hideous. There was no air coming in. I ran to the sink in the kitchen and I was trying to throw up because it was all nothing but burning acid. And pastor, of course, he jumped up and ran after me and was praying for me, Father God, in Jesus' name, and he prayed and prayed. Then all of a sudden, God led him. He relaxed. I saw him relax. And in the meantime, I'm thinking, I'm going to die here because I can't breathe. And by the time an ambulance gets here, they're not going to reach me in time. So, pastor, this didn't happen. This happened a little while ago, people. He leaned over at me and he just relaxed and he said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you leave my wife alone. And instantly my body relaxed. People, I was convulsing. I couldn't stop it. And the minute he prayed that and stopped the devil, my body instantly started relaxing. And I was like, I started taking in the air. Satan is nothing to us when we walk with God. Living in and according to the kingdom of God or Satan's hell. You're a citizen of heaven now. And the three laws of the kingdom of heaven are faith, hope, and love. That's what you're supposed to be living on. Life or death. Have you chosen life? You need to choose life or death is going to come. Jesus gives us all the instructions, people. Deuteronomy 30, 19. I have said before you, heaven and earth as witnesses against you. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessing or cursing. Choose life, that you and your descendants may live. You have to choose life, people. Say, I choose life.
I choose life.
Okay, and blessing or cursing. Father, bring on the blessings. I love you. I love you, Father, and I am a covenant person. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm staying the course till the end. And so, Father, I thank you that you're blessing me every day. Amen. Faith or fear. You don't have a right to be afraid anymore, swords. You don't. You don't. When you are afraid, you're choosing the devil. That's how he operates. Why would we do that? Why would we choose the devil when we know that he operates through fear? Amen? Choose God and faith. Say this with me.
I choose
God
and faith.
That's all you have to say. People, it got me through this week and it was gnarly. Blessing or cursing, faith or fear, healing or sickness. We put up with way too many aches and pains, people. I know I'm preaching to myself on that one. Oh, yeah, my back. Oh, yeah, you know, they say I have this. And oh, yeah, you know. No, I want healing. I want healing, complete healing.
Amen.
You know, blessing or healing or sickness, becoming the new creation or staying the old, corrupted, vile man. You better be changing.
Amen.
Changing for the best. Amen. Developing that moral character. Develop that integrity. Amen. And then walking in God's power or staying weak and feeble. You're either strong or weak. That's an absolute, people. Well, you know, sometimes I'm strong and then sometimes I'm weak. You're polluting the fresh water. Overcoming or being overcome. Set yourself to overcome everything.
Amen.
Walk around saying, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. No matter what I face in this life, I'm an overcomer. And you need to read the book of Revelations, people. It says in one of the chapter 3, and he says, to him who overcomes, I will not blot out his name from the book of life.
Amen.
From the book of life. You have to overcome. A crisis happens, a disease happens. Man, we've got some champion warriors in this church that have just gone through very serious trials. And they're here. They overcame and they're overcoming.
Amen.
Amen? That's what we do, people. We overcome. You're an overcomer. Say, I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
Finishing the race or quitting? Matthew 24. He who endures till the end shall be saved. You have to last till the end. No more talking about, I'd rather just go home now. No more. Stop that. God never brought you here to the earth to say, well, it's better for me to just go home now. You know how many hundreds of people have heard say that over the years? It would just be better if I just left. Ooh. Be careful. We don't quit on our race. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to finish it. And then wise virgin or foolish virgin? And again, last week we said you got to be prepared. Bearing fruit as a servant of God or staying selfish and serving myself? What do you do for God? If you're serving in church, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's some fruit. But how are you serving God? Now, we can serve God in women, taking good care of our families, taking good care of my husband. I love taking care of my husband. Oh, my gosh. I take really good care of him. I love him. I want him to last a long time. That's how we ought to be women. Proverbs 31 tells us that she does him good all the days of her life. She does her husband good. Amen. Praise God. Staying a sheep or becoming a disciple. We're transitioning slowly, swords, from being sheep to disciples right now. We barely have enough time to become a disciple. Being a sheep or a goat. Being on fire for God or being cold or worse, lukewarm. Obedience to God or obedience to Satan and the flesh. What are we obeying more? Our flesh and what it wants to do? I don't feel like doing anything today. Every day counts. Every day matters.
Amen.
Being the wheat or being the chaff, which is the counterfeit wheat. Actually, it's not the chaff. It's the tares. I put the wrong word there. I caught that. God tapped me and said, you said the wrong word. So are we being the wheat, which is what we're supposed to be? God raises up us to be nutritious and feed others and so on. Or are we being the tares that look like the wheat, but they're a counterfeit? We have to be so honest with ourselves, people. I'm going to be teaching on this on Friday a little bit, but if you're smart, men and women, you will tune in because I'm going to be talking about something that Carl Jung talks about. He's a very, very brilliant man, and what he says is that each one of us carry the shadow and the, what was the other one, Karen? Oh, the persona. The shadow and the persona. Each one of us has that. And the persona is what we build as an image of how we want people to see us. I want people to love me. So I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be fun. I'm going to be cute. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be kind. But the shadow is where the real person lives. And the shadow scares the heck out of us. We don't dare look at what's really inside of us. We avoid it with everything we have. And this is why God's having me teach this, because it's time for us to look at our shadow. What's really in there?
Amen.
What's motivating us? What agenda have we got working? This is why we end up with ministers that truly end up having horrible affairs with men and women. Because they never looked at their shadow, at who they really are. They never dealt with the core of their person. They just put on this nice little friendly, I'm a pastor, I'm a minister, and you have to follow me. Instead of going in there and carving out the darkness. This is not of God. Oh my God, this is not of God. And I'm actually a bit of a racist. Oh my God, and I'm giving over to the lust a lot. Oh my God, we don't want to look at that. But it's time for us to look at that.
Amen.
Turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit and let him turn on a big flashlight so you can see what you need to deal with. Amen?
Amen.
You can change what you don't acknowledge. You have to acknowledge that. Okay, I'm weak. I'm actually a weak person, but I put on this brave face. Oh my gosh. No, we got to go in there and do the work, people. giving our life to God completely, or picking and choosing what he'll get from us. Helping to build God's church, or siphoning people away from God. We ought to be teaching people, especially in our own homes. You know, it's hard. Trust me. My daughter was living with us when she was 24. And, you know, one day, you know, unfortunately, it was someone from the church that really started pulling her to go to nightclubs and stuff like that. And so she didn't come to church. And when I spoke to her, she said, you know, we were out really late, but I'm going to hear the message for sure, Mom. And I told her, I said, yeah, but you know, Andy, when you're in church, the anointing is there to help you receive the message. And the anointing breaks the yokes in us people. That's why it is important to assemble like this. And I'll never forget, she got upset with me because she was 24. But all I said was, you know what, Andy? In our house, we serve God. And in our house, we follow God. And then I walked out. And of course, she always remained. She is so on fire, guys. My daughter is incredible. She kept her faith with God. Looking forward to the rapture by getting ready and staying on fire with absolute excitement, or fearing the rapture, or sad that your life in this world are coming to their end. You can't be loving this world more than going with God, people. One of your chiefest jobs is to get the world out of you. You have no idea how sophisticated the devil is. It has formed systems to enslave us. I wish to God you'd watch that film I keep telling you about. The Lottery of Birth is still on Netflix. It'll show you how we program, even in our own homes, we program the kids to follow this, follow this. You'll be well off. No, you have to find what God has put in you and work off of that. Amen. Maturing in Christ into completion, or staying immature by refusing to grow or learn or change. Every day, every moment, we are choosing from these two realities, and it's based on faith or fear. It all started with faith, and it will all end in faith. It all started with God, and it will all end, or will it end with Satan? You know, there are people that are leaving Christianity. There are ministers that are deconstructing their faith. I no longer believe in Christ. I've seen billboards that say Jesus is not God. People are walking away from God. And that's why people, we're going to end up with a remnant of people that hung on to God till the end. It's because we're allowing ourselves these little gray areas that when the time comes to make that decision, you're not going to be able to make it, people. Every day, every moment, we are choosing from these two realities. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God, of Christ. Faith only comes one way, and that's through the word of God. You're not going to get faith any other way. Did you know that listening to messages, you know, because man, you guys are on it. You're all over the place hearing this minister and that minister, and that's great. We all can receive different things from other ministers. No problem. We're not in competition at all. But the point is that at the end of the day, if you're going to have faith, you have to get in the Word. Amen. For yourself. Amen. For yourself. Because you know what you're receiving? You're receiving something that was chewed up by that minister and feeding it to you. It's secondhand. But when you go in there and you mine the Word out and you start going deeper and deeper, now it's becoming yours. Amen. If faith only comes through hearing, what soil are you? Your produce, your fruit, will depend on the state of your heart. How is your heart? Mark 4:1, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. Then he taught them many things by parables. That parable is symbolically, it's things that are symbolic, like he'll say, you know, he uses symbols. And then, or it's a proverb. And said to them in his teaching, I want you to listen, please, because this is talking about who you are when you receive the word. Listen. This is Jesus. Listen. Behold, a sower, one that scatters the seed, went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and some, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth on earth, of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, you've been showing up. Swords, we are so blessed as a church. We have a core of people that has never left, that has followed us probably for 40, some of you, 45 years. You have never left. So there's been a lot of sowing, a lot of sowing. What kind of heart do you have? Because that's where the seed gets planted. See, it all comes back to your heart. Let's break it down. Oh, I hope I have it somewhere. The Word of God is the beginning, the middle, and the end of any believer. It is everything. Everything. What is the, in the armor of God, what is the, what is our faith? What is the Word? Sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Without your sword, you don't have any weapons. You don't have any way to defend yourself. You're going to be a casualty. Amen? Praise God. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the sword. Pick up the sword. Every time you pick up your Bible, envision you picking up a sword. And as you read it, you're getting skillful on how to do warfare. Amen? And then the word of... Oh, it's blocking. Let me see. The word of God is alive and exerts power. In Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. You know how I talked about the shadow and the persona? The word of God will begin to divide. No, that's the old man. This is the new man. This is what you are doing now. This is how you're becoming. The word of God will actually guide you into becoming the new creation. Our faith, governed and grown through the word, is limitless. Your faith is limitless. Your faith is supernatural. We've got some magnificent trophies sitting in this church that proved this. They stood on faith and they overcame. One of the chiefest warriors that we have in this church is Elise. Beautiful, wonderful, fierce Elise. A tiny little baby and fought and fought and fought. So let's read this. Difficulties to a Christian are only miracles that have not yet happened. Look at your difficulties as a miracle that's about to happen. Success isn't the result of arrogance. It is the result of belief. Especially spiritual success. I believe that I can become the new creation. I believe that I can be ready for the rapture. Believe, believe. Matthew 8:23. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things. All things.
Amen.
I said all things.
Amen.
All things are possible to you if you believe. You don't know what's coming down the pipeline for you. You don't know. But if you can believe, all things are possible for you. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. God is going to move in your life based on the power that is in you. Do you understand me? And what is that power? It's the Word. The Word is what gives us power. And of course, the Holy Spirit, prayer. The stronger the faith, the harder the test, the greater the reward. There are people that have gone into very incredible trials, and they're coming out of it. They are coming out of it. It was a great trial, but the reward is great that they defeated something so intense. You made a way where there was no way, and I believe I'll see you do it again. If you hit a block, if something goes stagnant in your life, Father, make a way. Break this out for us. Make a way. Father, make a way where there is no way. You're facing something legal. Father, make a way where there is no way. We don't stand a chance in a million to get the victory here, but Father, you make a way. God will make a way. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. How are our lives, people? Are we parched? Are we languishing? Are we barely making it? Or are rivers of living water coming out of us so powerfully that we're literally watering and replenishing people around us? Look at this. If you believe in Christ, rivers of living water should be flowing out of you, out of us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let them who thirst come. Whoever desires, let them take the water of life freely. I told you last time, people, that we are miserable in our lives sometimes, and we think it's the husband. We think it's the kids. We think it's the nasty job I have. We think that because we're not getting ahead in life, my life sucks. No. It's because God is not active in our lives. When you are alive, you don't care about anything that's external. You are fulfilled. You are happy. You are joyful. Who cares that my kids have walked away from me? Who cares that they act like they don't even know me? No, Father. I stand on the Word of God, and I believe that you're going to water all of our family. It's all going to come back. There's nothing that we should lose. Oh, my marriage is dying. Water it. Water your marriage. Start doing good. Start being kind. Start loving. Start sowing. Amen? I'm doing better teaching than you are amening me. You guys look like wilted magnolias now. It's like, this is too much. I want to go to Denny's. Matthew 16:18. And on this rock, Rhema, my revealed word, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You know why swords is still open, people? Because this is how we started. Bill and I took the first 4 years when we got back from Europe. and we submerged ourselves in the Word of God 24/7, literally, literally. We'd get on the freeway to go anywhere. We would visit his mom a lot in those days. The minute we got in the car, turn on the Word, and we'd pray in the Spirit the whole time, filling ourselves. God began to reveal things, so that this ministry is built on the rock. We have gone through many things and many trials, and we've made it through every time, and we will. And that anointing is being imparted into you, where you will stand. You will be that church that's immovable like a huge, massive mountain. Amen?
Amen.
That's a promise, people. Dude, we had some people come, Two Swords, from a major ministry. And I was shocked, people, because we had known these people 45 years ago. And they were very, very weak and very feeble spiritually. Why? It's because the Word is so watered down in some of these major churches. You know what they call them? A seeker-friendly church. They want to appeal to the world. No, this is how we're going to grow. Let's have fun. There was one church where they had 30,000 people. And guess what? They had a smoking area with coffee, a coffee shop. They had Western dancing. They had a singles night. They had married life night. And they had I'm about to die night. They had a night for everything, people. But one of them was for smoking, a mezzanine for smoking and having coffee before church. That's appealing to the world. We're not flashy. There's nothing that we offer you other than God.
Amen.
But the day will come where you're going to thank God that you did sit under a ministry like this, where it's hard. It's difficult to sit under this church because we don't get to play games. But one day will come when trial comes knocking. And we're going to be here for you, and you're going to do what you know to do, and you're going to survive everything, people.
Amen.
Everything. Everything. You will survive everything.
Amen.
First of all, Pastor and I pray for you. We love you. You've got someone that's very powerful in your corner. His name is Jesus. And then you've got the Holy Spirit working nonstop for you. You've got all your angels. And then you've got two pastors that aren't on your side. Amen? We refuse to quit on you. Trust me, there's been a couple of times where it was tempting. Only because, like God said, do you really want those people in your church if they don't want to be there? We've had to take inventory. How much do the people want to be here? Are we still a church? You know, we will remain. If we end up getting 5 people, that's the remnant, which I hope not. You're supposed to be inviting someone to come. Remember, each one of you have that little job. Invite someone from the outside, every one of you. I indeed, look at this. This is how we're supposed to look. I indeed baptize you. This is John the Baptist, with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that word fire means lightning and fiery. Where has the Holy Spirit and the fire gone in all of us? Where's the fire? Where's the fire? Where's the Holy Spirit? How much are we praying in the Spirit, people? You know, that's an active function of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He gives us the words to say in tongues. Pray. Get active. Get on fire. For yourself. Not for me. You're not going to perform for me. You are doing it so your heart gets completely transparent before God. Disciples start their walks on bended knee and before their God and stay the course until the end. If you get offended at a message like this, then I can tell you, you're not a disciple. But if you can handle the strong truth, that's what God told me when Pastor said, Eva, I want you to start thinking about teaching. I want you to start, you know, kind of going into a little bit of leadership. I was behind the scenes and I was so happy. I didn't want to teach. I didn't want to be up here. But Pastor asked me to step up. And one of the first things, man, that I learned under a man like this is that you don't play games. You don't play games. If he's going to say, I'm going to count on you, then he better count on you. And not only that, but I learned very quickly that the quickest way for you to grow is through correction. I'm going to say that again. The quickest way for you to grow spiritually is through correction. We all need to be corrected. We were programmed and trained under a system by the devil. So the word, the minute you open the word, that's why a lot of people don't get in the word. Is because the word will start removing the world from you. It will clean you up. And then stay on course till the end. Don't quit. God has no room for quitters, people. Amen. One way or another, make it. Amen?
Amen?
The Disciples' Creed. I love this scripture. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Imagine if we said that to God. Imagine. Father, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Let's start praying for God to help us get there. Amen?
Amen.
And he will. Glory to God.
Amen.
The power of God's word. We're almost done. You little wilting magnolias. Watch. The minute those doors open, you're going to come alive. I know you. The power of God's word. Warning about taking the word of God lightly. Hebrews 5:12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. When we have to tell you as a church, be on time, we're back to square one. We're back to square one. When we have to tell you, show up to church every Sunday, and you're like, no, I have plans, and no, I got to do this, and no, I got to do... We're back to square one. You ought to know these things by now. Why? Because Pastor Eva doesn't want to start teaching and then I walk in a little late just because something happened? No, because we're showing disrespect to God.
Amen.
This is an hour and a half that we set aside for God. I told you, for Pastor and I, you know why we dress the way we do? I could easily wear jeans. I'd rather wear pajamas. Get up here in my little soft little stuffs. But we show up the way we do in honor to the God that we serve.
Amen.
And we show up on time. These are primary, elementary things that we should have down by now. I need to show up ready for church. I need to do my best to be there and be a person of excellence. Let me see how I can contribute to someone today. Today was awesome, guys. I saw you interacting with each other. It was really, really nice. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Kenneth Hagin was known for preaching Mark 11:24. He taught on that all his life. And when he would stay at churches, he would stay there for 6 weeks sometimes, just teaching the same thing from different angles. And then the people started complaining. How long are you going to teach us on Mark 11:24? And you know what he said? When you finally get it. When you finally get it. When you finally get the principal, little, elementary things of the Word of God, we'll move on, people. We have so much to share with you, but we can't get you to be here on time. very, very disrespectful, not only to God, to the Holy Spirit, to your pastors who will spend time praying and getting ready for you, but also to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is important, people. We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven.
Amen.
Thank you, Jeff and Monica. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Solid means solid, stable, steadfast, and sure. No! Preach a nice message. I need hope today. Preach me. Tell me how much God loves me. No. Instead of anchor me. I'm hungry. God follows the hunger. If you're not hungry, he doesn't mess with you. He leaves you alone. If you're not hearing from God, you are not hungry. God does not cast his pearls before swine. If you're spending time with him, he will speak to you. He will reveal his word to you. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled. There you go. Now you know why when you pray, nothing happens. Now you know why when you are trying to grow up, you don't seem to go anywhere. Because you're still partaking of milk. You're unskilled in the word of righteousness. Okay, the milk of... For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled. That means inexperienced, ignorant in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, complete in various applications of labor, growth, mental, and moral character. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Some of us in here don't even know what's good and what's evil.
Right.
We have no clue that what we're doing, and this is harmless. I'm not hurting anybody. As long as I don't hurt anybody, I'm okay. And we don't realize that some of the stuff that we're doing is evil to God. Keep asking yourself. God independently told Pastor this and me many years ago. When I would misbehave or I would, you know, throw a tantrum or whatever, and like we all do, he would tell me, do you think I need that in heaven? Do you think I need that behavior in heaven? That's how we got to ask ourselves now. If what I'm watching right now, these little liberties that nobody knows about, only I know about, my little dark secrets in my little shadow person, God sees it all. And we're trying to get you ready for a very holy God, a very precious God. Amen? So we have to become holy. We have to become precious. We can't be worldly. Well, you know, I like to drink, you know, every day, and, you know, it's okay as long as I'm not hurting anybody. That's the big thing that we hear. As long as I'm not hurting anybody, what's the problem? The problem is that it dulls your spirit. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to make effort, be prompt or earnest, labor and study to present yourself, you, approved to God, acceptable. And tried. God's going to try you. He's going to try you, people. But he doesn't try you in troubles or problems or illnesses. God does not do that. But he's going to try your heart. There are situations in your life that you're going to face and he's watching. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Acceptable and tried. So we want to be acceptable to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing, that means to dissect and expound correctly the divine message, the word, which is the word of truth. And the word truth means verity, a true principle or belief, especially one of fundamental importance. So we've got to be diligent, people. We have to be diligent. Do you understand? Be diligent. Study. Study your word. Study the Bible. There are so many things, people, that can be downright scary in the word of God. There's a few times that God says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you." The way God knows us, he doesn't even look at our bad works. The way he knows us is by our good works. How much good are you doing? How honest are you being? You can train yourself to do what's right. You can. Amen? Okay, we're going to stop here.